A61. Number 9B.
Yes, we stop by asking the question, what is the difference between mind that knows all, and spirit that understands? Now, these are questions that you have to ask yourself over the next few years, over and over, when you do the synonymous terms, that you always ask yourself, how do these ideas of one synonymous term blend with the ideas of the next synonymous terms? Now, would you feel you know why mind knows and why spirit understands? Yes? Could you speak rather loud so that we get it on the tape?
Well, mind knows that knows is just simply a straightforward function. Understanding connotes a separation, if you will, of distinguishing that which is from that which is not.
Yes. Would you then say that understanding is a higher concept than knowing? You don't think so?
Knowing is direct.
Knowing is direct, yeah.
That's it. But understanding has, there is a sort of a filtering down and coming
through. Yes. Yeah. Yes, Don?
I would argue that understanding is a higher sense because knowing just knows. Understanding knows that and has the ability to distinguish between that and something else.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a more highly developed sense of knowledge.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
There's more subjective approach?
I wouldn't say that it is more subjective, but I think one can know a lot of things without understanding how they are related to each other. We can have a lot of knowledge just by going to an encyclopedia, and in that encyclopedia there is a lot of knowledge stored up, and so we can read them and we know them, but we may not understand it. Understanding seems to be that when one can see the relationship between the facts which one knows, that it is showing how one aspect of knowing and another aspect of knowing in a wider frame of reference have a meaning. And this, I think, will come out clearer as we go on in spirit, to see that spirit adds quite a bit to the knowledge of mind by showing that understanding has always to do with the ability to distinguish, with the ability to distinguish in two ways, and the ability to distinguish between what is true knowledge and what is wrong knowledge, what are true facts, what are illusionary knowledge, and second, understanding has to do with seeing the infinite diversification of a subject. That the more we can diversify and classify and individualize a subject, the more one can see the interrelationship of the facts which one knows. Therefore, naturally, I guess there is a common knowledge and a higher academic knowledge, but in the general, you meet quite a lot of people who have quite a great knowledge. They are very knowledgeable, but they may not understand anything what they know. They know a lot. Huh? They know a lot about plants, and they know a lot about animals, and they even know something about the stars, and know something about biology, and something about this and that. But they may not understand it. They may have read it and gathered the knowledge of it. What they know is true, but they don't understand it. Understanding means always that you can put your knowledge within a bigger framework of relationship, of gestalt understanding. So, spirit, first of all, takes what mind knows and can distinguish between that what mind knows and what is not true knowing. what is illusionary or elusive knowledge. And the ability to distinguish is the ability of spirit. It takes and says that which mind knows is actually the only true facts and reality, and what mortal mind knows and what the human mind knows is not real knowledge. It puts again a line of demarcation in between. Therefore, understanding is much more firm, has a more secure basis. It understands. It is stand, and underneath something which is solid. It stands on the knowledge of mind and says, only the knowledge of mind is that on which I stand, and I reject, separate, make a distinction in regard to everything that does not conform with the knowledge of mind. Later on we will see more about this kind of understanding when we come to further ideas.
Max, a young friend of mine on this point puts it this way. We gave him a new encyclopedia, and he had it for a while, and he looked at it. Then he came, and he said, you know, the trouble with the encyclopedia is you have to understand so much before you can use it. So you know what to look up.
What to look up, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So understanding, we have the faculty of discernment. Spirit discerns. Well, what means discern? Again, discern means you can distinguish. You can distinguish between, whatever is between. Between right and wrong, between good and evil, between any opposites. You can discern, and this faculty of seeing what is real and what is not real is understanding your subject. As a next one, you have what? Yeah, this is a funny one too. The warfare, because spirit is actually that which always leads the warfare, if there is any. So be careful that spirit does not want to have war. So that it can lead to warfare. But if there is war, spirit is that which leads to warfare. That's the biblical, that's the expression, metaphysical expression. What does it mean? It means naturally for our life something very, very important. So don't look up warfare in the dictionary. It doesn't mean very much. Because they will tell, I guess, something about leading a war and how to set up an offensive and then the defensive and how to have the tactics and the strategy and so on. Well, here naturally it is a biblical symbol for what? The warfare is always what? It's the struggle between opposites. It's the warfare. The moment we have opposites and the struggle between opposites, this is the war is on. And you can see how important this is in our life, because we know that we constantly have to do with opposites. We are not yet on the level of divine science, or at least not even on the level of absolute Christian science, where this warfare is not going on. But most of our thinking and life experience is on the level of Christian science, where we have to deal with the relationship between truth and error, between opposites. The moment you hear opposites, the synonymous term is what?
Spirit.
Because, we'll see that later, spirit is the only. Spirit leads the warfare. How? How does spirit lead to warfare?
Conflict through one thought or concept striving with another for acceptance and conflict.
Yeah. So that's the warfare, huh? But how does spirit lead to warfare?
Well, by having the power to distinguish between the two. It can decide.
It can distinguish, then decide. Huh? The first is to distinguish, make a distinction, then to decide. Huh? Spirit decides for the right side. Huh?
In management, we have a term, a manager is an SOB who can say no.
Oh, good. An SOB. I learned it just 2 weeks ago, you know.
Where have you been?
Yeah. If it wouldn't be a record, I would tell you. All right, spirit can say no, huh, to evil. Yeah. And it can say yes, huh, to the positive, and that's the way it leads to warfare. Yes, please.
If you have opposites, like if you have a number system, the ones on up and the minus ones on down, and you have one and minus one, and they're united, minus one is neutralized by plus one, and so you get a whole string of zeros as you pair these on. Now, when you talk about a system of natural numbers that excludes the negative numbers, which is really my interpretation of the highest sense of all of this, then you just have the numbers straight on. And I don't quite understand why the directness isn't a higher concept than the one that separates. I'm just confused.
It is, as you say. You see, do you know the levels?
Well, I know the word for them.
Yeah. But not the tonality of the levels of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Well, if you would know that, there is the answer. You say the directness would be on the level of absolute Christian science.
That's right.
Hmm?
That's what I'm
yeah. All right. So here we see that spirit, you see, is always that which can enter in the moment we have that warfare between opposites. The battle, she says, the battle with the flesh, battle is the same. The conflict between spirit and flesh, she speaks. You see, this is all that. Warfare, the battle, the conflict between duality. Here spirit comes in and says, I can distinguish what is right and what is wrong. Once I have distinguished, made a distinction, I can decide on the right side. I can decide now, I stick to spirit, and then I come to the direct line of spirit and stick alone with spirit, and that frees me or separates me from the material or erroneous concept. Perhaps we take in here something we may have later on. Chemicalization may come later on. No. All right, let's go on. We come back. Huh? So we come to the next one is strength. Huh? The strength of spirit. Now, in mind, what did we have in mind that was similar to the strength of spirit?
Power.
Power, huh? Good, huh? Yeah, very cute, huh? Power. We had power is mind. Why on earth should be strength, spirit, and not mind? We had the power of mind, the force of mind, the might of mind. Why not the strength of mind?
Strength now that in spirit is more consolidated.
A consolidated sense, yes.
It's a resistance.
It's a resistance too, huh? See, strength is always a power that resists against an opposite. Hmm? You see? Strength is not just power. Hmm? It's a qualified sense of power. Namely, we need strength then when we are opposed. Huh? And something opposing, resisting, a resisting power is under consideration. And so we have to have the strength to go against. Can you hear? Why is this spirit? Because it has to go against. Huh? Again, spirit is always that solves the duality. Hmm? Here it solves the duality of power. Two opposing power, you need strength.
The strength to stand.
The strength to stand, you see. Why not the power to stand? Yeah, yeah.
Stand is understand.
Is understand, yes, yeah. You have really to fortify your fortress against the attacking enemy. Huh? You don't have to take a stand if you don't have an opponent. Huh? You never say, well, you have to take a stand. When do you say that? Only then when there is an opponent against you. If there is no opponent against you, you don't have to take a stand.
Stand up, you're opposing gravity.
Yeah, you go against gravity, you have to pull up against gravity, yeah.
Sense of sustaining in here too, in strength, that it has the power to keep on resisting and never giving in, always to keep the pressure on.
Yeah, always to keep the pressure on, yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. Can you hear how, when we touch spirit, that quite a different aspect comes in than mind, huh? That it is still mind. Mind is still concerning it, but there is that that different aspect which says now which is which. Huh? You separate. In order to be separated, huh, you have to take a stand against the opposing argument. Yeah. So you need what we have here, the uncompromising sense, the firmness sense. A firm standpoint, to take a firm stand, as has been said, take a stand, huh? So can you hear that sense, how you can express it in many, many ways, huh? This firmness to resist, huh, opposition. As the next one, we have the leaven of spirit. Well, the leaven, do you like the leaven, the term leaven? It's really a biblical term. Now, when I say I don't like biblical terms, I don't mean that I don't like the Bible. I like the Bible very much, but when it comes to defining a term like mind, which should be defined through abstract ideas as much as possible, then we have to be careful with taking in natural symbols like light. See, the light of mind is a natural symbol, but it isn't an abstract symbol. Like the leaven of spirit, this is a biblical symbol taken from the Gospels. And so somehow we can take them in because they are somehow part of our vocabulary and so on, but we should at least see the abstract idea of these biblical symbols. What is the abstract idea, or what is involved, so to say, in the leaven of spirit, in the leaven? One thing permeating another. Huh? Now, why is that spirit? Yeah, yeah? Why is it spirit, huh? One, another, huh? One, another, huh? The mingling, huh? You see, it's a sense that there are two things, and that one has to permeate the other to the point where the other does no more exist. That's the meaning of 11, huh? That there are two, I think, chemicals at work. I don't know chemically if that's so. The two forces or chemicals at work where one begins to permeate the other to the point where the other is completely changed. Huh? Is leavened right through. Huh? That's the symbol of the woman have taken the leaven and so on until the whole lump was leavened. Huh? Until the whole lump was leavened. Now this is spirit. Huh? This is the process of spirit. It's not the purity of spirit. It's the process of spirit of that warfare. It shows how the spirit leads that warfare. That apparently the opposite, the the proposition is that there are two opposites. And that because there are, in spirit there is only one, we have to see that one has to permeate the other until the other is so translated and transformed that it does no more exist as an opposite, so that it is only one. It's actually the leaven, therefore, is a nice symbol of how duality is resolved in oneness. Again, can you see the tone of spirit which says, I am the only, and therefore I permeate everything and to the point where everything is of the same nature as I am. Has no more opposites. Huh? It's a wonderful symbol of the leaven of spirit. Therefore, she speaks about the alchemy of spirit. Wonderful. Well, alchemy of spirit, well, if we ask a chemist, you call it chemist, the one who studies chemistry? Yeah. A chemist, well, he knows that alchemy was a forerunner of the science of chemistry, and actually they were very good. I mean, for their time they were quite good, and they were preparing the ground for real science of chemistry. What was really their ideal? Really, the ideal was in the material to achieve that what spirit in the spiritual wants to achieve. Namely, mostly I think alchemy was concerned with finding ways and means of how to transform a mineral, a chemical, into another chemical of higher value. Usually it was how to make gold out of iron. That would have been the most wished for project, that they thought, oh, if I find a method to take iron which has no value and could just restructure that whole thing until it is gold, then I would really make a lot of money. So, but the main point was to transform something into something higher, into something better, whatever that was. Now, spirit does that. That's the alchemy of spirit. Spirit can take any old, bad situation and transform it to the point where it is leavened so much that it shows forth the divine nature. For spirit, there is no opposite. For spirit, there is no impossibility. Spirit is that which says, I am the only nature and I am the divine nature, and I can permeate and leaven everything, every situation, every battle that goes on, every conflict that goes on, I can change, leaven and leaven and leaven until the higher nature is brought out, the spiritual, the divine nature is brought out. How can it do it? To the conflict by us taking the standpoint, the strength of spirit, arise in the strength of spirit and stand to spirit and let nothing enter, let that standpoint be not mixed up with a human standpoint, with a wrong standpoint, with a material standpoint. Yeah? That's the warfare of spirit. That is the alchemy of spirit.
Max, didn't they also believe, the alchemists, that in the process of trying to improve and come up with a higher chemical compound, that they themselves would be go through a process of transmutation, where they would be transformed themselves from this life into a higher life? So it seems to me that thought of transmutation is a clarifying sense here also.
Yeah. I think there was a strain in that alchemy that also the human life would be transformed. Yeah, and yes, because you still have the those ideas in the literature of the beginning of the 19th century, like in Goethe's Faust and so on, that the alchemy would be able to transform even men to, yeah,